Manny Ramirez is probably not the most popular name around here, despite the fact that when he was signed on with the Red Sox, he was incredibly productive, and it was a wonderful deal. Made a lot of home runs and provided great support to his team. But in the end of his career with the Red Sox, things didn't go so well. He started to get in fights with his teammates. He started to go out on the field and not give his all. In fact, sometimes even refusing to play. His behavior was just despicable. And eventually the team was able to trade him. When asked why he behaved that way, Manny Ramirez explained that the Red Sox had disrespected him. You see, they were only paying him $19 million a year, and he thought he should be paid $24 million a year. Now you wonder who could possibly be worth $24 million a year? Who could even be worth $19 million a year? It's ridiculous that he would think that somehow that was disrespectful to not give him $24 million a year. But I know that what I'm about to say may not be very pleasing to some of you, but I think that there's a little bit of Manny in all of us. We've got this idea that regardless of how much we are getting, we somehow deserve something more. And it seems like even the more we get, the more we think we deserve. And so even people who have a lot of stuff, they think they deserve more. That's true of us in our jobs. It's true of us as we're growing up, how we think about our parents. And it's true of us even in our relationship with God. Paul has spent 11 chapters in the book of Romans explaining that God has given to believers in Jesus Christ everything they could possibly imagine. He's given them Jesus Christ, and with that, everything else. All of that despite what they have done. In fact, in spite of what they've done, the harder they worked for it, the more they deserve punishment. But God interrupted, sent his son Jesus Christ, and poured out his blessings on people who were once his enemies. The word for that is called grace. And God has been abundantly, overwhelmingly gracious to us. Yet sometimes we feel like maybe he should give us something more, like we deserve something else. We're constantly trying to get into our heads that the God we serve is a gracious and good God. He's given us more than we could possibly imagine, and all we need to do is open up our eyes to see that. And sometimes we do come to see that. There are moments in our lives where we realize how much that God has given us. And in those moments, all we can do is worship, and that's what Paul does at the end of Romans chapter 11. After he's reviewed the entire plan of God, he just falls to his knees and says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" Then he asks an interesting question. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Like, who has ever actually given a gift to God that God somehow owes them something? I mean, the answer, of course, is no one. God owns everything, so there's nothing that we can actually give to him that wasn't already his in the first place. So the question then becomes, what do you give to the one who owns everything? If everything you own comes from one person, how do you give him something back? That's the question that Paul is answering in Romans chapter 12. He says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. In light of all that God has given you, what do you give to Him? You give yourself. He's using the imagery from the Old Testament when a priest would bring an animal up to the altar for a sacrifice. And the animal would be killed and would be offered up in flames to God. Jesus Christ is the final sacrifice. So Paul says, now in light of all that God has given, give yourself to God. Present your bodies to Him. Say, God, You've given me everything. Now You have me. Tim Keller was telling a story about how that he was talking to a woman who was interested in Christianity. And all of her life, she had believed that somehow she could earn her way to God. If she was just good enough, if she just did enough good things, that somehow God would grant her a relationship with Himself. And Tim Keller is explaining that the more and more she does, actually the more punishment she deserves. No one can be good enough. It's simply this free gift given apart from anything that we do. And as that began to sink in, she realized something. That if we can't do anything to earn it, if it's just this gift, if it's just grace, then that means if we accept the gift, God can ask of us anything that He wants. We can't just pay Him back by an hour on a Sunday morning, or an hour and a half if there's a bike race and you can't get to the church. It's not just a couple hours a week or a few good deeds here and there. If God's given you everything, then He asks for everything in return. He says, in light of all that God has given you, give yourselves back to God. And in our very best moments, I think we realize how good God is, and we're willing to do that. But then we begin to slip back into our old ways. It's just a natural thing that happens, and Paul warns about that when he says, don't be conformed to this world, in verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've got to learn to change the way that we think. Some of you have either known or heard about people who have lived through the Great Depression, the worst economic time in our nation's history. It was very difficult to find jobs, and so people would do whatever they could to make money and to make ends meet, and that meant never throwing anything away. Well, the country obviously came out of that, but some people were never able to change the way they think. So even if they had a steady income and a secure life, they continued to save every single thing that they ever had, thinking that someday they might need it again. And no matter how much you tried to explain to them, no, you don't have to worry about that anymore, they would continue to live a particular way. They needed to be transformed in the way that they were thinking. And we too need a constant reminder that God has given us everything we need. He's given us Jesus Christ, and with Him promises everything else. So there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing else that we could possibly want or imagine. We already have it, and that's what we do every Sunday here, is to hope to remind you that God has given you all that you need. He's gracious and He's good. And as we become transformed in our thinking, we realize how much we already have. And then simply we can begin to give ourselves back to God in light of all that he has given us. So what does that look like? How do we give ourselves to God? Does it mean that we all raise support and go to France? Does it mean that we become pastors or become professional Christians? Paul says that it doesn't look the same for everyone. In fact, there's a variety of ways that it plays out in an individual's life, because God has given to each person a particular gift, a particular ability that they are to use in the body of Jesus Christ. In verse 6, he says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given to us." Notice that word, grace. Each person has a unique ability that is a gift from God. In other places, it's called a spiritual gift, because it's something that you didn't have before you had the Holy Spirit. Before you put your faith in Jesus Christ, received the Spirit, he gave you some particular gift, a particular ability. And some examples are listed there in verses 6 through verse 8. Things like prophecy or leadership or teaching or serving or giving. Things like mercy. Those are some of the gifts that God has given to each individual. And the Bible is clear that everyone has at least one, and usually a set of gifts. And the reason he gives these gifts is for you to use them in what he calls the body. Verse 5, "In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." The analogy there is of a physical body. There's many different parts to the body: the hands, arms, legs, feet, torso, head, ears, nose, eyes, things like that. Lots and lots of different parts, but they're all part of one body. I would not willingly give up any part of my body, even my appendix. And apparently I don't actually need that, but I'm going to hold on to it as long as I possibly can. It's all part of my body, and you realize when you try to do certain things that there are different times where you need particular parts. My favorite thing to do every summer was go on vacation with my family, where we'd spend a week playing golf and swimming in a lake, and I would always look forward to that. And then one summer, the week before we go on vacation, I'm helping my uncle on his farm, and I fall off a wagon and I break my arm. And so I spent the next 6 weeks in a cast. And so as we were on vacation with my arm in a cast, it was fairly difficult to play golf and to go swimming. I realized how valuable that arm was to me. So each member of a body is given a particular gift, and that gift is meant to be used in the body. If someone is part of a community, part of a church, and they're not using the gift that God has given them, then in some sense that church is impaired. The church has a disability. It's not functioning completely in the way that God has intended it to function. The general rule for any organization is that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. It's called the 20-80 rule, and it applies also to the church. In general, you have about 20% of the people doing 80% of the ministry in the church. Now, if God has given a gift to every single individual. That means that whatever 80% isn't using their gift, that the church is missing out on a big portion of what kind of ministry could be happening. Some of you have seen pictures of weightlifters who spend all of their time working out their upper body, and they never bother to actually work out their legs. So they have these massive arms and torsos and these skinny feminine legs. It's entertaining to see the pictures, but also quite disturbing. And I guess, in a sense, that's what a lot of churches can look like. If it really is that a small percentage is doing the majority of the work. Now, there is a possibility that that 20% or whatever it is can see the things that they are doing and begin to think highly of themselves, begin to be proud about all of the things that they're accomplishing. And so Paul says in verse 3, "For by the grace," notice that word again, "given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought." Apparently this could happen if you begin to use a gift and you have some success with it in a church. So Paul's warning them, be careful. Don't think of yourself so highly. Because rather, he says, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given to you. Paul is asking people to see themselves as God sees them, according to faith. Now, it could sound there like he's saying, you know, think of yourself in terms of how much faith you have. So if you have a lot of faith, then go ahead and be proud about it. If you have a little bit of faith, you know, you shouldn't be so proud. But really what he's saying is measure yourself according to faith. God has given faith to everyone who's come to Jesus Christ. Now use that to look at yourself and evaluate who you are in light of this body that you participate in. See, faith tells us that whatever gifts we have are not something that we ourselves achieved. I don't know if you've ever given a gift to someone only to get it back later. It's happened to me more than one occasion. I had a Bluetooth earpiece I liked, and holiday, birthday, or something was coming up, so I thought, oh, I'll get one of those for my friend. So I got it for him and thought it was a great gift. And then my birthday comes around, and what do I get but this Bluetooth earpiece that looked amazingly like the one that I had given to him. I mean, what do you say in a situation where you say, thanks, that looks wonderful? It's impossible for us to give God a gift that he didn't already give to us. Just like children, when you say, you know, go get your mother a gift, you give them the money to go buy the gift. And it's great that they go and do it, but they could never say, you know, I did that on my own. That was my ability. If you find it particularly easy, for whatever reason, to lead people in a church, if you can organize a group of people and you can get them to follow you, that's a gift. If you can play music in such a way that gets other people to actually worship God, that's a gift. If you find yourself after a service or a function, always being the one to clean up and to do the things that nobody else would even notice, that's a gift. If you find it really easy to give humongous sums of money to the church and to buy the pastor's wife lavish gifts, that's the last time I'll use that joke. All these things are gifts from God, abilities that that he's given to you, there's no reason to be proud of it. You simply use it. You just do it. I think the problem in the New Testament was that people were finding pride in their gifts. And they, like one time, Paul says, if anyone desires to be an elder, that's a good thing. But here's some things that elders have to do. And apparently there's like this problem with a lot of people wanting to be elders. And I've never had that problem in the church today. And really what happens is you see all these people kind of shrinking back and saying, we'll let somebody else do that. There's so many people who are better than me at doing that. So they think, you know, I don't actually have anything to be able to contribute. And so the problem isn't necessarily pride. It's not being able to recognize and see what God has given to you. And so you think, I can't contribute anything. But if it's true that God has given a gift to every single person who's put their faith in Jesus Christ, then it means you have something to contribute. There's some way that you can give yourself to God by using your gift. There are no professional Christians. There shouldn't be ones that do all the work and then people who are spectators. God doesn't give gift receipts when he gives out his gifts. You can't return them to him. I was talking with a neighbor recently about times that we've actually been in the presence of celebrities and how, you know, it's silly, but then you tell the story a million times, and even though it doesn't actually mean anything, you get excited about it. And he said, well, when years ago, when Seinfeld was huge, would get confused. People would think he was Jerry Seinfeld a lot. And so sometimes in a restaurant, if you notice people looking at him when he was ready to leave, his brother-in-law would come up and say, hey, you're Jerry Seinfeld. And then he would run out of the restaurant, and people then would tell stories, probably still telling those stories, that I actually saw Jerry Seinfeld. And one time, his friend was in New York City, and she saw him in the distance, and she's running after him, saying, Alec, 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 and he's not turning around. And so finally she catches him, and she grabs his shoulder and turns around, and it's Jerry Seinfeld. And she looks in his face, and she says, I thought you were Alec McMaster. In the kingdom of heaven, there are no celebrities. There's not this distinction between someone who has a particular gift and someone who has a gift that is way more public. As we begin to use our gifts, the way that God sees us is someone who is special and unique and able to contribute to the body. So we can't just sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. God's waiting for us to do it. I was at a cookout one time, and a lot of people were there, and one particular individual had a gift of just entertaining people and lots of great jokes and very profound things to say, and just kind of everywhere you look, people are laughing or crying or somehow being impacted by him. And I said to someone I was talking to, you know, why does he get all these great gifts? And I just sit back and watch. And she looked at me and she said, because God made you to be you. God's given you gifts, and they may be different than his, but that doesn't mean they're any less significant. So you don't worry about him, just use the gifts that God has given you. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 12, is that give yourself to God by using the gifts he's given you. He goes and lists these gifts and says, just use them. If your gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Take your gift and use it in the way that God has intended for you to use it. You know, Nike says it very simply, just do it. But a lot of you might be sitting here still thinking, maybe I'm convinced that God has given everyone a gift, but I don't know what mine is, so I don't know what to do. Well, one way for you to discover your gift is just to begin trying things. You hear that there's a need, or you see that somewhere. Put yourself out there and see what happens when you give yourself over to trying to do something, doing anything. Maybe it'll go terribly. Like if I were to try to sing on the worship team. I know that's not my gift. But perhaps you will suddenly discover that God has uniquely designed you, and he's given you a particular ability. And as you begin to use it, you discover that you're doing exactly what God created you to do. Just do something. Another thing you can do if you're not exactly sure what your gift is you can come to the adult Sunday school class. It starts in 4 weeks from today. And at one section, at some point this fall, for 6 weeks, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, how you can discover how you fit best in the body of Christ. And I'd love it if you're going to be around in the fall, if you would come at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and we'll figure out exactly when those 6 weeks are going to be. But it'd be a way for you to discover your gifts. Paul says, give yourself to God by using the gifts he's given you to benefit the body. In my office, there's a picture of a little girl in a wheelchair holding a cat. And a few people have come in recently and asked about it. And this week, Heidi was in my office, and she's asking about the picture. And I said, you know, it's interesting. I haven't talked a lot about that. And she said, well, when you're ready, you'll do it. So here it is. That's a picture of my sister, Angela. And she was born with cerebral palsy. In her life, she never was able to talk, and she was never able to walk. And she lived for 35 years, and she died in 2010. Despite her physical limitations, Angie was used powerfully by God to transform people's lives. When she was first born, my parents did not know Christ, and God used that crisis in their lives to send my father to church, where he heard the good news of Jesus Christ and received grace for the very first time. And then later my mother did. They were both baptized, and they both joined a church, and that's where I grew up. She had a profound influence on our family because of that. She also had a profound influence on that church. It was a church about this size, and she was there. You know, we brought her there every Sunday or anything we went to. You'd have to carry her in her wheelchair up and down the stairs, and you know, wherever we went, out in the lawn, and people couldn't help but notice that there was someone there in a wheelchair who wasn't able to talk. And Once they finally started to get to know her and to interact with her, they realized that she was probably the happiest person that they had ever met. She had this massive smile and this laugh that could actually transform lives. And so many people in that church would tell you today that their lives were changed by their interactions with my sister, Angela. She couldn't use her body. She couldn't speak words. But people saw in her a particular gift. It's the gift of joy. It's the gift of contentment. It was the gift of faith. Everybody has a gift. God has given one to each person that has put their faith in Jesus Christ. Go out and find your gift, and then give yourself to God by using your gift to benefit the body.